Well, we're still here, so let's talk about it. I kind of gave it away last time that I have a little pro and con interview or podcast that I listen to, and I really am excited to share because I keep saying how tough this topic is. I want you to hear it from two physicians who have their own opinions about medical assistance in dying. I'm going to start with Brian Callister, MD, who calls MAID or medical aid in dying suicide. He believes that MAID is a sanitization of suicide. Dr. Callister says that insurance companies may suggest MAID for patients as opposed to more costly measures of treatment that may only be 50 to 70% curative. He also believes that the legalization of MAID doesn't necessarily expand patient choice as much as it would provide insurance companies more reason to deny treatments. If you think about that statement or that set of statements, it almost seems inflammatory. And I don't want to believe that it could be true that an insurance company would suggest that you kill yourself or end your life before your natural life ends just because it's costing them less money. That's just a sample of the heaviness of this decision. Dr. Callister goes on and he describes the Hemlock Society, which is now called Compassion and Choices, and explained that they may push to a plateau of acceptance this idea of medical assistance in dying, given the cost of MAID compared to medical treatments. He also notes that patients most often cited in their definition of dignity the loss of activity level, the loss of autonomy, among the highest reasons to choose MAID. Pain, which is what a lot of people claim is the reason that they're choosing this, according to Dr. Callister, is only 20 to 25% of reasons patients actually choose medically aided dying. He believes that if it becomes quote-unquote medical treatment, it would then be paid for by insurance and thus be a cheaper option to treatment. That kind of furthers his idea of this being about the money. He even said at one point, follow the money. He mentioned a patient by the name of Stephanie Parker, a patient who had a terminal form of scleroderma. I got this article from lifenews.com, and this report showed that the California assisted suicide law prompted an insurance company to deny coverage, initially indicating it would pay for the patient to switch to a different chemotherapy drug based on the recommendation of her doctors. However, shortly after California assisted suicide law came into effect, her insurance company denied the treatment. This report goes on to say that other patients have reported their insurance companies offering medically assisted dying or terminal sedation as an alternative to a more costly treatment. Dr. Callister called medically assisted dying a mini industry for medical professionals. Dr. Callister does agree with his colleague who has the pro side for medically assisted dying. The agreement comes to aggressive palliative care and hospice care being the preferred way to care for the terminally ill. He also called medically assisted dying a quote-unquote grief reaction and noted that people with a terminal diagnosis may need mental health intervention, not suicide. And he cited that less than 4% of terminally ill patients are referred for a mental health exam. When you think about the heaviness of this situation, I would think that would be a requirement. So far in what I've read, it is not. Dr. Callister also said that, quote, elite whites, unquote, are most likely to request medical aid in dying so that they can control their own death. He wondered in this interview on the podcast whether someone's right to die may become, quote, unquote, my duty to die, and believes that the medical aid in dying law should be revoked, citing the inaccuracy of death prediction, mental health coercion, no requirement of witnesses to be present at the time the medication is taken, but only required to be present when the patient is making the request for medical aid in dying. He also thought that physicians not being required to be present when the medication is actually taken as another reason this law should be revoked. In the interview, Dr. Callister returned back to this idea of good hospice care and good palliative care, and he said that we can give good care these days much more than we did in the past. He noted that morphine should be used to relieve pain as opposed to being used to kill. In favor of medically assisted dying, the My Body, My Choice movement may push for doctor consultation to receive that option that could result in perverse negative consequences. Dr. Callister believes that symptom management with morphine and other medications can increase quality of life, and he urged people not to let the fear of pain and suffering skew the facts. Do not resuscitate, or DNR, or employment of life-sustaining measures or medical assistance in dying as an only option is a myth, according to Dr. Callister. And he provided this website for us to check out. I'll put that in the show notes. Their front page states, "Suicide is not medical treatment." I'll leave you to check out the website to learn more. I only looked at the front page because I didn't want to skew any thoughts that I might already have before recording this episode for you today. I want to point out that Dr. Callister is also a deacon in his church. I would imagine that his religious beliefs would sway his opinions, and they are opinions, so his life should sway his opinions. Now I'd like to go ahead and give the pro position for medical assistance in dying. This was presented by Lonnie Shavelson, MD, an emergency room physician. Dr. Shavelson began his commentary in this podcast episode stating, "Natural death doesn't happen here anymore." He opined that people may live in pain and despair without the opportunity to die with medical assistance. He mentioned the pragmatic response to opposing MAID, including that hospice is not uniform, meaning that not all demographics have equal access to hospice. He also noted that medical assistance in dying was accused of, quote, getting in the way of hospice and palliative care. He also noted that religious peoples oppose MAID as well. Dr. Shavelson wants us to know that some doctors oppose medical assistance in dying because to allow physician-assisted suicide might be seen as a medical failure. The American Medical Association oppose MAID as well, citing doctors are lifesavers, not life-takers. Dr. Shavelson mentioned that the AMA is designed to encourage what is best for doctors. He also emphasized that medical assistance in dying is not an illustration of doctors' abilities. He believes that a patient should have the right to decide how they die. He also pointed out that a majority of patients simply want to have the medications available in the event they wish to use them, even though they may never actually do so. He also believes that doctors should respond to patients' requests to die, even if they don't agree. Historically, around 25 years ago, physician-assisted suicide was accomplished using this Secanol drink. Dr. Jack Kevorkian, also known as Dr. Death, was mentioned in this interview. Dr. Kevorkian used IVs and actually administered the drugs himself to his patients. Eventually, his actions were seen as murder and eventually led to a conviction and some imprisonment for Dr. Kevorkian. But you know what? He was able to highlight the patient desire to have this choice. And now there are multiple options for patients. And we know, based on previous episodes here, but also what you've probably been reading, 10 states already have the law enacted. So 25 years ago in the 80s, the Secanol drink was the medication of choice for medication-assisted dying. Nowadays, a medication cocktail is prescribed, mixed and consumed by the patient, and death comes in about an hour to 4 days following this. Dr. Shavelson described it as a surgical sleep, similar to being under anesthesia. This drink contains, per Dr. Chavelson, high doses of morphine, Valium, and heart-stopping medications. Once in this surgical anesthesia or sleep-like state, the patient is unaware. Only the family is aware of the patient experiences at this point, which includes deep breathing, groaning, muscle twitching, and the death rattle. Dr. Chavelson mentioned that the groaning doesn't necessarily indicate pain in this setting, and he also indicated that, once again, TV is not accurate in its portrayal of death. He asserted that this type of death is peaceful for the patient, even though the above-noted changes occur. He quoted, "Death is still death." Dr. Chavelson continued and admitted that at times a patient may vomit the medication, and then other means would have to be utilized to bring about the death, but he didn't really elaborate on that point. He did mention that otherwise this method of medically assisted dying is 100% effective. Some of the difficulties of using medically assisted dying is that death is not precise, and Dr. Callister agreed with this point. Doctors and medical professionals are able to determine approximately when a patient may die, but mistakes are made. This relates to hospice, where patients that are brought on to hospice service, once they are determined to have 6 months to live or less, may actually have their life extended and improved with this extra care, which means that they may not die within that 6 month time frame, but actually, quote unquote, graduate hospice. Also, a patient may qualify for medically assisted dying, but their lifespan, as I just mentioned, would expand or extend due to the care of being in hospice or palliative care, and they may never actually take the medication because they're just feeling so good right then, and they don't feel like they need it anymore. In addition, according to Dr. Chavelson, patients may be delayed in their efforts to obtain MAID medications due to not being able to find a doctor. Maybe their family doctor doesn't pursue finding a physician for the patient who can help. Thus, some patients actually die before being able to even start the process to obtain a consultation for medically assisted dying. Once these patients enter hospice care, however, they just receive such good care, they really just no longer need this as an option for them. Going back to the American Medical Association, they believe that medically assisted dying should be a last option as opposed to a first choice. Dr. Chavelson cited some insurance matters with medically assisted dying as well. First, there's no coding or billing codes available to be posted on a patient's account to have insurance reimburse or pay for this service. He also noted that Medi-Cal will pay for the medications, and under very rare circumstances, insurance may pay for the doctors involved with medically assisted dying. The doctor visits required to qualify for medically assisted dying can be covered by Medicare, but Medicare does not pay for the medications. So once a patient is able to find a physician, they must also have the cash to pay the physician and the costs of the medications. The physician's costs range from about $1,000 to $11,000, according to Dr. Chavelson, and the medications can cost around $800, unless you're on Medi-Cal, as I said before, which is only covered in California. So if you're in the other 9 states, you may not have this available to you. Dr. Chavelson gave us a website also, much like Dr. Callister did, that we can look at to start the conversation with your doctor, maybe start the conversation with your family, seek those medical consultation referrals, and find out more about medical aid in dying. I'm going to put that website in the show notes as well, so you have both. That is the Pros and Cons podcast interview that I heard a while back. I hope that you found this information helpful. Here are 2 physicians, one a family physician, one an emergency physician, on opposite sides of medical aid in dying. It's good to know that these are 2 professionals in the medical community who have training and experience with medical aid in dying to help us learn whether this might be something we would want to consider or whether we would just reject it out of hand as no option at all for us. As we are continuing our talk about death and dying, this is a conversation that a family member may be wanting to have with you, or you might be wanting to have with them. I think the controversy surrounding it also helped to keep those Google searches on medical aid in dying or physician-assisted suicide fresh and new, so you can get the latest information. The websites that I heard on this interview will also be included. I hope you check that out as well. And as we continue to look at this topic, we will move away from medical aid in dying and move on to some other methods of physician-assisted suicide, etc. Thanks for being here today. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening today. You can go to my website for more articles, little news pieces, or a transcript of this podcast. The website is whilewerestillhere.com. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send me an email too. Thanks again, and until next time, take care.